This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here with my colleague, Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia. Welcome to 2021.
Now, you know what? Listen, as far as I'm concerned, 2020 has not ended. I am not celebrating the new year for another 2 weeks. I'm just not.
But what if 2021 is just like this, just like 2020 all over again?
Maybe it is. Let me just say this. I want to start off by confessing something, and that is that this might be the first time in nearly almost 4 years since we started this show. I can't believe it's been that long. That I have not even attempted to like make a draft like for about the news, about what we're going to talk about today. And that is
high five. Me too.
Good job. Because I don't know why you didn't, but I am so tired, Susan. I am so, I feel like, I don't know if it's just me, but like incredibly emotionally drained in the last couple of days.
And right there with you, I was past the anger stage and I'm there again.
Are you angry? I don't have the energy to be angry. I'm just like...
I was done with being angry. I was right in... I was mentally done with him. I thought we were over this. I thought we were past this.
Right.
You know, we had a few more months because this U.S. system is bonkers and, you know, the lame duck lasts forever. But I had emotionally moved on. And I was kind of already living my new post-Trump life where I didn't worry about him, didn't think about him. Didn't record a 45th because, like, let's not give him more attention than he needs.
Right.
Like, I was ready to just mentally just put him away. And then this week it was like, you motherfucker, you're in my head again. Like, this can we just be done already? Can be gone. Finally.
I mean, I really thought a week ago. So last week we didn't do 45th. And towards the end of the week, I was like, maybe we should have because there was a big, big story about him, like, calling, you know, Georgia and, you know, was it, did he call Kemp or Rapsenberger, whoever he called and was, you know, that whole thing. And then they recorded the whole thing. It was a big story. I'm like, my gosh, we should have covered that. And you know what? No, it wasn't even like.
That was three impeachable offenses ago.
Right.
Four or really five, was. Maybe.
It was.
Well, let's start with the good news. Most consequential, but it's probably not even true. Let's start with the good news.
Well, I was going to start with our COVID stuff, which is what we usually do. So you tell me, what are you in the mood? Listen, no rules anymore, Susan. We do whatever you want.
Let's start with the COVID.
Okay. Nobody's talking about it because nobody has the mental space
for it.
We
hit 4,000 deaths today for the first time in the U.S.
Over 4,000. We have now reached a total of 364,735 deaths and 21.5 million cases in the country. We are hitting new records every single day. We have hit a new 7-day average, you know.
It's not even, I honestly thought, obviously the deaths would keep on climbing, but there was a time, and people were saying it's just the holidays, don't buy into it, but I was like, oh, look. You know, that curve is finally starting to go the other way. We're good to go. Nah. We're not actually at the peak yet.
No, we're not at the peak. And also, now there have been reports of that new strain that escaped the UK, apparently, and made it to the United States. It's been detected in numerous, I think, New York, Florida.
It's everywhere.
Is it really?
It must be. I mean, no one, like, every person who's had it so far has had no travel history. So it's kind of like how COVID was in the start. By the time we knew it was here, it was everywhere.
It was too late. Yeah, it was too late. Now, the thing about this is that there's no indication that it's any more or less lethal, but it is much more highly contagious, which, of course, makes it more lethal. Yeah, because...
It's worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
If you do the math, you have a choice between a 50% increase in lethality or a 50% increase in infectiousness.
Contagious, yeah.
Yeah. You want to choose lethality because, like, that will actually kill far less people overall.
Yeah. Now, we were really excited about a few weeks ago when we said, well, okay, at least the vaccine's coming out, light at the end of the tunnel. Well, the vaccine rollout, we got to talk about this, has been an utter disaster. It's been a dismal failure so far. So apparently, since mid-December, not too long ago, 21.4 million doses of this vaccine have been distributed, but only a third have actually made it into people, okay? Of the entire country. That's the entire country. And there have been so many problems. There's holiday delays. There have been scams. People have been scammed into, like, paying for appointments. Now, every state has set up kind of, like, these tiers, right? Like, so if you're in the priority tier, it's like, you know, people, healthcare workers, frontline workers, and people over 65 or 70, whatever. And then it moves down. Like, we can't even get past that first stage because of the disasters that are taking place just to get the elderly vaccinated. I don't know if you follow the story, but a number of states, apparently, especially Florida, set up Eventbrite as the method for old people to set up their... Eventbrite, like how we get our concert tickets. That is how our parents and grandparents are supposed to be setting up their vaccine appointments. And it's...
I mean, in theory, if they don't have like a program in place, rather than have someone make a new one from scratch, yeah, use an existing... the platform is already there. Use it. But Eventbrite's not quite up to speed. That's not going to work. It didn't work.
But come on, listen. Susan, how long have they known that they have to prepare for this? They've had all year to know we have to have a system in place. They've had a system in place to get testing done. I don't see why it would be that much more difficult to swap out the testing system for the vaccination system. And if you tell somebody like my parents just set something up on an Eventbrite, for the life of them, they would not be able to do it. I swear to God, I've read stories.
Yeah.
This one reporter tweeted that he was reporting on the vaccination rollout in Florida. And there's an 87-year-old man that he talked to who said, I don't know how to set it up. I've called and left messages at every department, health department, and the reporter finally set it up for him. You know, like these people can't do that. Anyway.
Yeah. So for all the debates we were having, and by we, I mean Twitter, for all the debates that were up there and some of the crazy, like non-expert, you know, pontifications happening about how to best distribute the vaccine, like should it go to people a certain age? Should it go to first responders? Like what's the fair, effective... How should we do this? There were all these debates about it. Well, guess what? Joke's on all of us because none that's going to work anyway. Like, the best thing is just to get it out to whoever you can, wherever you can. Like, at random would be better than how we're doing it now. Because, like, okay, yes, ideally, you want to give it to people who are older first, but it's still just better to give it to anyone if you're giving it to no one at all.
Yeah, because the vaccine is very, like... It's very delicate. This thing, like, if it's out of cold storage, it can't, like, you can't, like, refreeze it, and it's got to be used, and, like, you're going to end up. Yeah, and then there was that story where that one, I think it was a nurse or a healthcare worker, left 500 doses out.
Oh, the pharmacist.
Was it a pharmacist? Because
it was a pharmacist.
Why would a pharmacist do that?
So when I saw the story, I was like, aha, there it is. The first story of someone involved in the black market vaccine trade.
Oh.
It was not that. It was much worse. It was a right-wing anti-COVID guy who thought somehow, a pharmacist, somehow thought that the vaccine was going to change your DNA. So he was trying to sabotage it by killing it, giving it to people who would then get COVID and would be touted as proof that a vaccine does not work.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I have an uncle who's an architect. He's a very smart guy. I mean, he's smart. He has been incessantly sending me videos for the last 2-3 weeks, just crazy-ass videos that are like evidence of the vaccine changing your DNA. And finally, I just responded. I said, stop it. You have to stop spreading these lies. You're going to kill people. Because he's sending them to like everybody knows.
It's not great, but he's also an architect, so he's better than a pharmacist.
That's true. But still, the point is like there's so much of this. Well, the other issue with the vaccine rollout is that we just haven't hit the worst of it, right? You know, the first group of people, it's not that hard to distribute, for example, to healthcare workers. You know where they are, the clinics, the hospitals, right? They're easy to get to. Residents in old homes, right?
If they'll take it.
If they'll take it. But if they won't take it, obviously they should not be working in those facilities.
Oh, but they are.
But here's the thing. Once you get into like the priorities, you know, the groups 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down, that's what's going to be really hard. And anyhow, unless there is... You know, something like Biden comes in and really I hope he has something in place. I hope he has a plan in place.
He has his, like, I mean, he has this self-sabotage plan, which is a good for us, I guess. Like, he's saying he'll do 100 million doses in, like, 100 days, which...
How?
Okay. I mean, I'm glad you're setting goals, but... Yeah. I mean, setting a goal that you seem like you're probably going to fail at doesn't seem ideal politically, but that's better than, like, what the predecessor has done. So, okay. Maybe you can do it.
Maybe they'll do it. I mean, Israel is like not, I mean, like so tiny compared to the United States. But, you know, they like vaccinated their entire population within like a week or something. But they were doing what you suggested, which is just anybody walk through the door, vaccinate them. And there was one story where a nurse, she had like a few doses left at the end of the day. And she just ran out into the street and found some random like pizza delivery guys and was like, have you been vaccinated? No. And so she jabbed him right there just to do it.
They're doing that here too, though. They're doing it like CVS and whatnot. People
are they really?
Yeah. There have been some people who've gotten random because they've been there for like people, like older groups getting it done. And they have a vial that's open and it's going to go bad. So people are in the store. They're like, you want these last two doses? Here you go.
So people should just kind of hang out at the very end of the day, wherever this vaccine is
being given. Look for a group of old people going to a CVS, follow them, and lurk in the corner. That's your best strategy.
I keep asking my parents if they've been in, like, anybody's, like, their physician said that they would contact them, but there's been nothing so far, so I don't know. All right, so now should we start with the insurrection, or where do we want to go here?
Let's do the good news.
Let's do it.
So we've had this double runoff pending for quite a while, and I'll admit I was skeptical. Although I will say, internally, I was being intentionally skeptical because, like, I cannot get my hopes up anymore. So I was telling myself, I was telling everyone, like, of course they're going to lose. I can't win. It's impossible. But like, maybe Warnock, if nothing else, like maybe.
You know, I actually really was pretty optimistic about it. After November 3rd, I was like, they've got this. I thought Stacey Abrams had got this. And I'm so glad she did.
They did. Although, I mean, it's a testament to all their work.
Yeah.
But they got an assist from someone who was heavily bringing down the GOP vote. So, you know, there's that too. I'd like to say it's all the hard work from the Democratic side, but it's not.
Right. I mean, like, they got a big push from the president, and he showed up the night before the election too, right? How did that go down? I mean, you were in the area.
I was in the area, but definitely not there. Dalton is up north.
The crowd didn't look very enthusiastic.
It was cold. For us, it's like freezing. I'm surprised they were, like, you know, the fact they're there is kind of impressive. and yet, Dalton had less of a turnout for the, much less of a turnout for this election than it did for the general. So Trump did nothing to actually spur out that turnout.
Well, Trump, you know,
But I will say, I'm in Georgia right now, so I get to see all the ads, and they are bonkers.
Oh,
they are.
What are they?
Old school bonkers. I was in Michigan before the general election, and the ads there, I thought were like, I'm like, oh my God, this is what like TV ads are like. It's DC, you don't really get them. Here in Georgia, it was some crazy, intense, all negative stuff.
About Warnock noticeably, and Ossoff.
Yeah, like the Warnock and like the Ossoff's like nose getting longer and like darkening Warnock's skin shit was happening. Like, oh my God. And they just like played again and again and again those ads of Warnock giving a sermon saying, goddamn America. Only they bleeped out the damn. So it's like, God bleep America. So we're sitting there like, hey, God fuck America? He said that?
Yeah. So do you think, though, it was, I mean, like, but it didn't work. I mean, but do you think that was because of an increase in Democratic turnout or that Trump really, like, caused depression in the Republican turnout?
It's
like, what
both. Do you think it was? From the numbers, it's totally both.
Both things happened.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'd like to think that they can recreate it later. But, of course, the first thing the Republican legislature is doing here now is trying to do all kinds of voter suppression tactics, like, you know, voter ID and like ending drop-off boxes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is no guarantee in the future, but if we can just keep it going a bit, get some more Democratic power in the state government. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the Georgia state legislature is all red, right? I mean, mostly red.
Yeah.
It's.
But I just like to say, suck at North Carolina. We got there first.
Well, look, I will say this. I feel like COVID is taking its toll, and it's going to continue to take its toll, more on like older Republicans, and I feel like that's going to have an impact in all these different state legislators too. I mean, and their voter base. I mean, I know it's crazy, but I really do think that this virus is also going to like wipe out some of their political edge.
The thing is, as much as people on the like Trump supporters like call it fake and a hoax and all that, older Trump supporters don't actually call it a hoax. Some do. There's always examples. But like overall, the older Trump supporters aren't messing around with this. They know. They know it's real. And
they probably know people have died. Like my parents know people die. Yeah.
They know it's real. And that is a reality that they are responding to.
Okay. Well, we took the Senate. Trump lost the Senate, the House, and the presidency. Good job, President Trump. That's nice what he did work. For the GOP. And you know what? That's what they deserved. So Lindsey Graham said it. If we nominate him, we will be destroyed. And he was right.
It is really funny, though, that all the takes after the election were like, oh, my God, the Democrats did so bad. Look at how terrible this was for all of them. And end of the day, they took full control.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that was the good
news. It cannot be overstated how important this is. This just changed the entire direction of American history.
Huge.
This does change the future of American history for the next decade or so, maybe longer, because without this, I'm not going to set the bar too high. Like, policy stuff, there's only so much he can do, Biden can do. But without this, without having Warnock and Ossoff in office, I just had these visions of not a single judge being confirmed.
Biden couldn't do anything. Passed. Biden couldn't have done a thing. Yeah.
It's not a question of not even passing legislation. Like, they would have, blocked every damn judge. Yeah. Breyer would have had to live, 8 more years to possibly ever get to retire.
Right.
It was going to be bad. Like, at the very least, I'm not even putting my hopes on, sweeping legislation. I'm just not going there yet. But, this means we can do basic functioning stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe pass a Voting Rights Act.
I actually do have hopes for some sweeping legislation, including stuff around criminal justice. Maybe healthcare and voting rights. But
let's not talk about that.
You don't think so?
Well, okay. You know what? I will say one of the many downers this week was winning the election, getting both those seats, and having Biden hold off on his AG pick this whole time.
Okay. So you want to talk about that? Let's talk about that.
No,
what do you think of? What do you think about this pick?
I think it's fucking sucks, man.
Yeah. Why? What is why? You have an opportunity. Why? Why did he go there?
We knew it that way. So, okay, it's clearly in retrospect, everyone can tell, it was going to be Doug Jones if we didn't take the Senate. And then if we did, by a miracle, it was going to be this guy, Merrick Garland.
People were saying Sally Yates. I mean, there was
also would suck, too.
Well, better than, I know.
This is where I had hope. I had the fantasy that he would choose someone moderately progressive. I'm not going hardcore here, but moderately progressive. Yeah. And now I'm actually Doug Jones might have been better.
Doug Jones would have been better. Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that if we got the Senate, we'd get a better pick. And I'm now oh shit, maybe we had Doug Jones and then he'd have been fine. Not ideal, but Merrick Garland is... And of course, Biden's I wanted to choose someone who is totally independent of me, so kind of no accusations of bias. Or okay, fine, whatever. You can find someone who is not favorable towards defendants' rights.
Right.
I mean, that's not what you need. The DOJ has been beyond decimated. It's been wrecked by Trump. It's been wrecked by his policies.
Not only that. Come on, the progressives delivered this election to Biden.
They deserve something.
Kamala Harris was a blow to many progressives. Now the attorney general. I mean, these are more the most powerful positions. And down the line, I don't know how it's going to go. I'm glad Vanita Gupta's in there, but still,
Merrick Garland's not going to fix what's happened in the past 4 years. And
he's
not. That's not for whatever reason. That's not who he is. He was. I mean, I'm dead serious. When he was proposed to replace Scalia, I was like, well, we're going to get worse on defendants' rights.
Right.
I mean, I was still taking him, but over Scalia. But being dead honest, decent chance Scalia would come through more for defendants' rights.
Well, I guess the only saving grace here is that he can't be anything like Barr. It can't get worse.
That is true.
Yeah. And
put that bar right there on the floor and scooch on over it.
What do you think the chances are of him being willing to open investigations into, let's say, former administration, all this kind of corruption that we've seen?
I don't even care.
Really?
I so don't care about that. We're still trying to survive these last 2 weeks.
Okay. I don't know where to start. I just don't know where to start with this.
All right.
I
mean... we're going to start here. So Trump was Trump as always. But he has been very kind of petulant and whiny, and he hasn't really been making huge moves lately. I felt comfortable being you know what, this guy is.
Well, I mean, his moves were calling Secretary of State of Georgia and saying, just find me 11,700 or whatever votes. There was a move.
11,780. Yeah. All he right. won one more. I just want one more than. Yeah. But also, okay, back to Georgia. I love the idea. That's what he asked for. imagine this universe where Trump calls up and says, Raffensperger, I just need 11,780 votes. That's one more than Biden got, 877, 79, whatever. And then Raffensperger agrees and says, okay, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to recalculate and say you got one more vote exactly than Biden.
Oh, you know, the thing is, like, in this storyline, like, that would have been totally on. And Trump would have said, yeah, that's exactly the fact. That is exactly how it went down. I won by one vote. I mean.
No, he would have said, I won by hundreds of thousands, but this is good enough. So.
That's good enough. But the thing is this. So we know that. We know about that call. But obviously, Georgia alone would not have won in the presidency. So we know he had to have made these kinds of calls to other officials in Pennsylvania,
Arizona, both acknowledge they got ones. They wouldn't release it, obviously. Yeah. But the thing about Georgia I found even more interesting is the statement they put out was like, had like a sly. It was like, oh, here's like, you know, what happened. Here's this. We recorded because of what happened with Lindsey Graham asking us to lose votes in certain areas.
My God.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's some backstabbing out that I can. Well, actually, that's valid backstabbing. It's not backstabbing. It's like, okay, y'all tried to commit like treason to the Constitution. So,
yeah.
It took that much for the Republicans in Georgia to call them out. But
I mean, some of the most corrupt state officials in the country, so I gotta give it to them that they were like no
way. Even Kemp is like, whoa,
this is way too much for me.
Whoa, I did not sign up for this.
No, I may have stolen the, you know, the governorship from Stacey Abrams, but this is like a line too far.
I'm happy to embrace traditional good old boy Southern politics, but like, whoa, what are you asking me to do, sir?
Well, then after this happened, there was still actually litigation. I'm like, I think some more litigation was filed over this weekend. I mean, like, this shift was going on, and then the shift.
Following.
Yeah, I did too, because it didn't matter. It was all bullshit. But the shift started, the real shift was that Trump started focusing on Pence and what Pence can do on January 6th. And that's what we started seeing all, every time he tweeted, his rallies across Parler, all these things. Pence being urged. I mean, there was some lawyer who wrote an entire memo and tweeted it at Pence saying, here is my legal memo showing how you can actually basically reject the electoral count and send it back to the legislators. And so Trump was banking on this.
Oh my God.
Right?
This is why I've wanted to not think about him, because it's just, it's all, there's nothing even like remotely tangible to it. It's all nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's just not, even if it did work, it wouldn't work. There's no way. But this rally, he's been hyping it for what, weeks now?
Yeah.
And
the Stop the Steal rally.
Oh my God. And his tweets are so, like, they were sinister at the time, and now they're even. Now it's like, oh my God, like, things will be wild. Be there. Maybe when they see everyone flooding to D.C., they'll rethink this position they're taking.
I mean, all across their social media, like in Parler and these web rooms and whatever, these
web
chat rooms.
Did you just say web rooms?
I did. Listen, this is how tired I am, Susan. This is our 800th fucking episode about this man. Chat room? So, I don't know. But the point is,
in the Trump web rooms, they are talking about, like, let's have, like, they were saying.
They're saying revolution. Everything. They're like, we're going there for a fucking revolution.
They said, we're going to storm the Capitol. They're actually saying that in those words. Also, they're talking about, like, let's make sure, like, by the way, when you go to storm the Capitol, make sure your backpack you have, A, 3 liters of water per person. B, lots of bullets. Mm-hmm. C, a battery for your, like, flashlights and whatnot. Don't bring your phone. They'll track that. Like, they put this in the open. They were intending on this.
Well, over the weekend, planefuls of them were coming in, and there was footage that was, like, circulating on social media showing them, like, disrupting entire planes, which, I mean, like, screaming and shouting and just being insane. It was so clear that these people were coming to make trouble, and Trump wanted them to make trouble. I mean, he's been telling them to stand by for a while now, and this was going to be it. I mean, and then on the day of the rally, right, he was like, go get him, basically.
Well, they had so on the 6th, we had Giuliani up there to start. He's like, let it be trial by combat. And we had Trump come in. I mean, the speech was actually kind of low energy, which I was feeling pretty good about, because he started talking, like,
it was the same old shit. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, but he was kind of like low energy. He was like being like, oh, here are the great things I did. He was talking like it was a eulogy of his presidency. Mm-hmm. And he didn't acknowledge that he'd lost, but more so than he had in the past. But then he starts putting these words like, let's go, like, go and fight for me and stuff. And then he says, I'm going to go join y'all. Let's go walk to the Capitol, to the Capitol. And, like, stresses to the Capitol. And then pretends he's, or says he's going to go with them.
But then he leaves.
But, of course, the crowd obeys. And they head to the Capitol, where Pence has now showed up to oversee his role as the human letter opener. Which is his constitutionally prescribed role in the whole proceeding of certifying the vote.
And was it that morning or it was a day before that Pence's office issued a statement making it clear that he was not going to be rejected?
No. It was during that speech.
There was a statement that the office issued. I think it was the day
during
before.
Yeah, during that speech.
Oh, really?
The big one came out during the speech.
Oh, you're right. While Trump was speaking,
talking, Pence has enough courage to okay, he's distracted. Put it out there now.
Yeah.
And my God, I would blame the founders, but let's be real. They had horse and buggy. This is how they had to do it. They had to certify the vote somehow. Mm-hmm. So we have this archaic-ass system where it's the best they had for internet before phones to make sure that the votes came in and you could say,
from California and everywhere. Yeah.
Well,
not California, but whatever, yeah.
Maine is far fucking away, so let's do it. Okay. And they still use the same language, all things seeming a certain to be the right way. Come on, can we just please update this language? Anyway, Pence is there overseeing it. We already know it's going to be objections. It's going to take forever because it's 2 hours of debate per state. And I think eight of the states are going to, it was in for a long day. Everyone knew it. You're going to hear a lot.
Hawley had started this. I mean, he, I think, was the first one to say, I'm going to raise an objection. Then he got 12 other senators to join him in the House. Over 100 Republican delegates had said they were going to object. It was going to be a long ass day.
We were going to hear a lot of Hawley and Cruz and Gates, which is going to be a perfect day right there. And then the crowd gets there. And I'm in Georgia now. I'm glad because part of me is I probably would have been an idiot. And I
wouldn't. There.
I'd like to imagine I wouldn't be there. But part of me knows I would have been an idiot. But I can't be an idiot. So it was all good. So instead, I watched the Trump supporters live feeds. And you could, and the people who are doing the feeds that you can actually watch stuff are the ones who aren't going to get involved in the shit. The ones who are giving the big, nice view of everything. And at first it seemed okay. At first it was
just marching to the Capitol.
Yeah. But then it became clear all the people Trump had been talking to were still filing in.
Yeah.
And it was getting worse. And the people started getting way, way more... It was kind of like Trump. So Trump's up there saying, I'm going to join you at the Capitol. I'll be there too. And then fucks off. These people at the rally, you can hear them in the live feeds going, charge, charge the Capitol, charge, do it, charge. And none of those people were charging themselves. they're all hundreds of yards away and they're not doing it. But they are there, running in circles around this, the yard there, saying, charge, get up, do it, do it, do it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I wasn't watching any of those live feeds. I was just laying on my sofa, switching back and forth between CNN and MSNBC. I had so much work to do, and I literally was just paralyzed for 10 hours. I couldn't move. I just sat there and watched.
And then you hear the gunshots and other stuff start to go off.
And windows being broken, and the barricades being pushed back, and police officers being walked over. And
that's when I was looking at some of the feeds from the news channels and showing up close to the launch. You're like, oh my God, there's no one there. There's no one there.
Yeah.
And I was at a bunch of the rallies over the summer, and the rallies would be small and there'd be a lot of people there. I'm talking 300 yards.
Like an army.
Multiple lines, people arm to arm, military police arm to arm there, advancing, there's some Terminator shit going on. And then there's this one shot they panned over to the Capitol. I'm like, they got no one there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I have been to the Capitol many times, for all
kinds
of things.
Oh, they're assholes.
Yeah, I mean, the Capitol police, they can be...
They're assholes!
Yeah, they're assholes to deal with, you know? But look, they have a serious charge, right? They've
got... D.C. residents have been trained that these guys are assholes and have to be that way. D.C., you just, learn to accept it. Don't, linger on the side. Don't walk slow on the sidewalk. Don't, look too... straight ahead, don't look to the side,
don't take more than one picture, just keep walking.
Keep moving. Yeah. Oh my god, the Capitol police are the biggest assholes, and you're like, okay, well, I guess they gotta be that way, so whatever. Oh no, it was all a fucking front.
It was deliberate. And so even with, so you're at, you know, that's the Capitol Police, but the Capitol Police would not have been doing this alone. The National Guard should have been there already. The DC police should have been there already.
There were some DC police. You know how I know that? On the live feeds, people were talking about, like, so people from the front lines would come back to the people with live feeds I was watching, and they would talk about, like, what was happening up there, like, what's going on, like, how it looks. And they were like, everything's cool with the Capitol Police. They're giving us water. We're talking. Some of those DC police are being assholes. Stay away from them. But I think the Capitol Police are allies to the cause.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, like, come on. Like, here's a bunch of, like, LARPers talking. And I mean, maybe the guys were just not as aggressive, so they're like, oh, maybe they're an ally.
Yeah.
Like, no, come on. They just weren't quite as, like, rough with you.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, these people, they feel like it's allies because they're not acting like they do towards other people. They're not aggressive. They're not assertive. They're not, like, pushing them. They're not firing at them. I mean, look, there's plenty of footage that shows there was law enforcement that was overrun, that they're, like, using pepper spray or something like that. There was footage of that. And so that you can see that there are points at which they were trying to fight them back. But you cannot fight back when you're expecting, like, let's say 5,000 people for this thing or whatever you're expecting. You can't have, like, 10 people. Maybe it was that they just thought a lot of people are not going to show up for this rally, the way very few have shown up for
Trump's. They thought they were, like, it was pure, one, racism, two, like, Trump's in charge. Like, it is the biggest intelligence fail in U.S. history since 9/11, and possibly even more of a fail just because how dumb it is.
Yeah.
The people were talking openly on social media about what they planned. Like, go look on Twitter for, like, storm the Capitol from before, like, January 3rd. Tons of people are like, yeah, we're storming the Capitol. It's going to happen if Pence doesn't come through and, like, decertify the results. They were explaining what they wanted to do. And they had, like, it wasn't just, like, talk. It was like, yeah, make sure you have all these plans ready. Make sure you have this and this and this.
Right.
And they didn't believe them. And the quotes today were astounding. It was like, we had no intelligence that they might try and breach the Capitol. Or
it's not even acceptable in any level. I mean, like, I had that intelligence. You're telling me you didn't have that intelligence? So the Washington Post today, no, I thought the story around the National Guard was really kind of crazy.
Oh, that's not done. That's not done. That's going to be the big story coming in the next days.
Yeah, so Trump would not allow the National Guard to be deployed. Larry Hogan, I mean, he was being begged by, like, Schumer and Grassley. Like, they're calling the governor of Maryland and Virginia saying, please deploy your National Guard. And they're like, we cannot because we have not been authorized by the federal government. It took Pence. Okay, now I know you were tweeting about that. Like, how in the hell did that happen?
National Guard.
How did Pence do this?
Well, officially, technically, constitutionally, he did not.
Okay, so let's talk about what the problem is here.
So, National Guard, D.C., not a state. Hopefully that'll be, like, the number three thing we fix after Puerto Rico and the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike states, the person in charge of the National Guard is not the governor. There's no governor. We're the feds' bitches. So Trump's in charge of the National Guard, and only Trump can deploy the National Guard. And we needed the National Guard. Problem is, what seems to have happened is Trump did not want to deploy it. Didn't deploy in advance, did not prepare in advance, but the walls start getting breached, and time out, just going to point out. Y'all seen the photos of the Trump mob, like, climbing the walls, like, up there?
Mm-hmm.
There are steps, like, 10 feet around the corner. Just pointing that out. Like, for some reason, they were climbing those walls when there's, like, little steps right there. Anyway, point being.
Makes for a better picture.
I know. And they're, like, dramatically trying to pull one of them up. I'm like, you could just walk, like, 10 feet around, just walk up the stairs. Anyway, the guard was needed, despite the wall climbing, and it did not come. It did not happen. And we're like an hour into this. It is still not there. I mean, that's why they're sitting there and the speaker share and the VP's share and going through the, like, there was no response because at that point, I mean, yes, like the Capitol Police were underprepared and too chummy with the protesters, the rioters, the insurrectionists.
I think in some places there was some chumminess, but I think for the most part they realized that they couldn't. They were just overwhelmed. They could have gotten hurt, you know.
They were failures, but the ones on the ground, they had, like, there was no choice. Like, they could have started shooting, sure, but that wasn't the option either. Like, lost life on that scale is not. I mean, yeah, it was not. The problem was not did not start there. Anyway, point being, at some point the National Guard does get authorized. And at first they're like, oh, Pence authorized National Guard. And then I was like, Pence can't do that. He's AP. Commander-in-Chief here is Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, in the stand-in for the governor for National Guard. So how exactly did that happen? And everything was kind of chaotic, you may have noticed. So like nothing really got answered there for like 24 hours, or at least for the next day. And like, oh no, Pence didn't do it. That authority was delegated, or they're just like, oh, someone else did it after talking to Pence, but Pence wasn't actually involved. They just happened to talk to him and they decided to go ahead and deploy it.
Was that something that was reported today? Because yesterday, sometime late in the afternoon, I saw a story that said that the Pentagon called Pence's office and they just basically kind of completely sidelined Trump. They just like, we're just not even going to contact that office. We're just going to deal with the vice president's office.
So with the story they're going with now is that there was a previous order that delegated authority down the chain of command from Trump to Miller, the current acting Secretary of Defense. And that may, I guess that's true. That seems true, whatever. And that would mean that like, oh, like, you know, in the heat of the moment, it means that Miller can go ahead and authorize without Trump's say so.
But then he didn't. He wouldn't do it for like almost two hours.
Well, technically Trump wouldn't need to if he previously, like in advance, delegated authority.
No, I'm saying Miller didn't. Why didn't Miller delegate it? When you've got governors calling, when you've got like
why didn't he do it?
Why Nancy Pelosi is calling from inside the goddamn wherever she was, and they wouldn't send her the guard.
Like Pelosi's like, send in reinforcements. We need the Blackhawks. Send them now. And Miller's like, sorry, ma'am, can't do that. Yeah. Damn it, man, we're under attack.
I mean, it's crazy. You've got like the vice president is also in the Capitol, so it's not just these people that
the vice president that the mob was just saying like we're now building like freaking gallows for, like,
right,
death to Mike Pence. And they were seriously doing, like, they were seriously threatening death to the vice president because he was now revealed as the great traitor.
Right.
Anyway, again, like you say, why didn't it happen sooner? If he had the authority, why didn't it happen sooner?
Right.
And the story is that, like, oh, he had a discussion with Pence, but that wasn't about, like, permission or, like, command. That was just, like, a discussion he had with the vice president because, like, that's what you do. And then we decided to go ahead and authorize
President is hiding, is sheltering in place. Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-mm. There's something. We'll find out what happened. Like, this is
right. Something else happened.
This is why the calls for impeachment have started right away, because something happened that was very apparent to the people involved in the situation, Pelosi and Schumer, and the people hiding for their lives in the Capitol. And we've not heard the full of it yet, and they're trying to cover it.
Well, right? we got to talk about the story that came out in the Washington Post today, just this late afternoon. And that was this, that the Pentagon issued memos on January 4th and 5th, in the 2 days prior to this all this shit show. That placed significant restrictions on the D.C. Guard ahead of the protest. They knew this was going to happen. What those memos said, it prohibited the D.C. Guardsmen from getting any ammunition or riot gear, from interacting with protesters unless necessary for self-defense. It prohibited them from sharing equipment with local law enforcement or using guard surveillance and air assets without the Defense Secretary's explicit sign-off. They already were, like, trying to limit, you know, like, the DOD is doing this at the orders of the commander-in-chief. They're already trying to limit the response that the National Guard would have to these protesters. They've already said that. That's like them saying that you're just going to stand down, basically.
The story right now is that there was no threat assessment about this event and that they simply did not believe this would be a national security threat or like a local threat or anything like that. Apparently, DHS
are they forgetting what happened in Michigan? What are they talking about? Like, I mean,
they're not. Okay, look, the people Trump's appointing are incompetent, but no one's this incompetent. I mean, I think that's the story that's going to come out. There was an order not to do a threat assessment, order not to treat, like, there was an order not to treat, like, every other, like, these guys have been practicing all summer. Like, they've had all these rallies where they, like, clamp down super hard. I got tear gassed several times, and trust me, I was not in the front lines, and I was not doing shit. And I got tear gassed several times this summer. Like,
they've been practicing all summer. Yeah, and also the thing is, like, these white nationalist militias are also ready. They've been on the rise, like, for literally ever since Barack Obama was elected. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been tracking them for like a decade. The FBI has named them the greatest domestic terror threat for over a decade. And this is his base. These are the people he's calling on to come. These people are also, and to look at some of the pictures.
Oh, they're still tweeting it.
Right. There's that too. I mean, look at the pictures. You had your plenty of moms and pops who just like, and the people running around like urging others. But there were also people who look like these are either ex-military, law enforcement. They have some kind of training or there's some kind of, they've had some kind of militia. They're wearing tactical gear. There's pictures
the same dudes from Charlottesville. Same exact dudes. Several, right. Like a dozen same dudes from Charlottesville. Like I believe that Trump's appointees are incompetent. I'll believe that. You don't have to convince me. Like, I'm fully willing to believe that's what's going on here. No one's that incompetent. That's not what happened.
Competency or incompetency just should not matter at all in terms of the law enforcement response.
The most incompetent person would have done something here. They did not. There was an order from above. And again, if they'd really delegated authority to Miller, like they're claiming, why did Miller take 90 minutes to do anything? I think what we're looking at is that Trump was actively blocking deployment. They eventually panic. No, they're already panicking. And they're like, okay, well, let's technically under this old delegation, Miller does have authority. So legally, constitutionally, from this prior grant that was not being considered before, Miller could do it. But like also it's kind of a big stretch if you weren't planning on using kind of authority like this. Let's get VP to sign off just so we cover our bases and we're not, you know, declaring the military to use force inside the United States. To have the military use force in D.C. in the Capitol without having someone elected give that order is unimaginably the end of democracy. Like, I cannot imagine this. There'll be a movie. Like, one day there's a movie on this and you're going to have this great character actor who is like, the role of Miller, like, do I decide to deploy troops into the fucking capital of the United States without having anyone say this?
Right, because there's no civilian command anymore. Like, that's what it's come down to.
So even though they may have decided, had some quick lawyer, they're like, okay, sir, you have the authority, you can do it. He's like, I cannot do that without someone doing it. And Trump is like having a tantrum in the room, so I can't talk to him. So I'm sure from his point of view, like, all he can do at that point is like, okay, I can't let people die anymore. I've got to do something. I'm at least going to ask our VP and get him to sign off. So I've got that to go back to.
Right, right. Yeah, right. It took 2.5 hours, according to Washington Post. Guard units did not arrive for 2.5 hours after the chief of the Capitol Police made the emergency request for the National Guard. That is insane. So apparently right outside the city limits, they actually had, the guard had a quick reaction force on standby, but they wouldn't send them in. There's going to be like a whole congressional, like, you know, hearing. I mean, will anything come of it? I don't know.
But in the chaos, it's just been like, we've never had to have a situation of someone deploying military forces like this in the center of government under these chaotic conditions. It is such a fucking fail. Like, it is so embarrassing. The U.S. is weak. The U.S. is on edge. We already knew that. But like, this is weak. This is the kind of disaster that only happens to a country that has lost its ability to govern itself effectively. Like, it can't be like, this is like,
it just goes to show that we have been governing.
It's like the Falcons in the Super Bowl when they're ahead by 20 million points. Like, it is that big of a fuck up.
I have no idea what that analogy means. However,
like, you can't possibly fuck up this bad unless you're like doomed.
Well, the thing is, I think it just goes to show how much of U.S. governance is based on like good faith actors. I mean, and if they don't exist, that's it. I mean, like this, there aren't enough checks and balances in place. You know, the founding fathers did not anticipate this level of rot. I mean, when Trump called in, he called into a meeting of the RNC this morning, and they cheered him after everything that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's think about that. Speaking of the RNC, at the RNC and the DNC, there were pipe bombs found yesterday. There was a lot of damage done. A laptop was stolen that probably has national security information. Apparently, there's like an entire manhunt happening right now for like that laptop and a lot of people and these people just were showing their faces, just literally announcing themselves, live streaming, like you said, you know, taking selfies, absolutely thinking they have complete impunity. They own the place. They can do whatever they want. A man walked off.
They were shocked they got tear gas walking in there. Like, legitimately, crying. Honest to God, shocked that they got tear gas going into the Capitol.
A man walked out with a podium. I think it was a speaker's podium. I don't even know. I mean, like,
I don't think he knows.
Where'd this podium go? They tore off Nancy Pelosi's sign. Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. And the whole world watched this.
But it could have been so much worse.
Of course.
We got lucky because those dudes going in, the ones who were prepared, the ones who weren't just LARPing, or they were LARPing to the extreme, they came prepared to take members of the House and Senate
hostage.
Captive. Yeah.
Yeah, there are now photographs emerging of at least two people who were on the House floor, it was the House floor with zip ties, the kind of zip ties that they're like double zip ties that you use to handcuff people.
The kind that should have been used to arrest them by Capitol Police and weren't, for some reason, we still don't know.
Right. They had handfuls of them. They had dozens of them. Now, some people are saying that maybe they were going to use them to barricade themselves inside and, like zip tie the doors from the inside, but they never did that.
That's not what their post on Twitter and, like, the Donald said.
What?
Their post on the Twitter and the Donald, like, they were planning to actually take, like, that was the plan. Like, they were talking about this. Their plan was to be held hostage, to interfere with the count and prevent the count from being certified for as long as possible.
Now, as this is happening yesterday, right, at some point Giuliani made a phone call to a senator and called the wrong person.
Can he was trying to call this? Tuberville.
Tuberville is one of the senators who said he would object to Pence receiving the electoral count. And what happened? He called another senator and left a voicemail saying what?
So, yeah, Tuberville's a new guy. He was from Alabama, took over Doug Jones' seat, former football coach. And as someone else pointed out, like, he gets elected one day before, and suddenly the Capitol's defense all falls apart. Tuberville is a pox. Anyway, apparently Giuliani's on his number, so Giuliani was trying to call him in the afternoon post-invasion, post all of that, and tells Tuberville, who he thinks is Tuberville, like, hey, just object to a few more states. Each state you object to is 2 more hours of debate. Like, our goal is to drag this out until the end of tomorrow. So today it's 7th. It's like, take it out till like late on the 7th and we're good. Of course, Giuliani had called the wrong person. We don't know who yet, but he called the wrong senator and left this whole voicemail for someone who is not Tuberville. Yeah.
So you tweeted something about, like, why was he asking for another day? What was the plan? What was the plan? Susan? Oh, no. Have I lost you, Susan? Susan? I'm going to stop and start recording again. Start recording. Yeah, I'm here now. I don't know what happened. All right. I can hear you. So I lost you because I said, do you have any theory about why Giuliani was asking for 24 more hours? What were they going to do you think?
I have none. I have no theory, which is annoying to me because he was like, the voicemail is very
rare.
Specific. Well, like, yeah. There's no theory that works here. Like, it was very specific. Like, hey, Tuberville, just Coach Tuberville, hold on. Like, keep us going till the end of tomorrow. It's all we need. And it was so specific, you assume there's a plan, but is it just like Trump in the moment trying to make the moment last even longer? Like, is that all it was? And if so, why was it so specific? I don't even know.
The crazy thing is, it might have actually lasted longer if the Capitol hadn't been stormed. That whole thing kind of expedited it, because when they finally got back in session last night, they were like, we just got to, I mean, they still went on and on and on, but still, it was much quicker. I mean, like, and numerous people, including people like Kelly Loeffler, were like, I was going to object, but I'm not going to object now because, oh my God.
That was scary. So let's not do that. It probably ended about the same time as it might have. Well, because, like, what, they had like 6 states they wanted to, actually, you're right. That would have ended probably early this morning. I think in the end, there was no plan. I think in the end, that was just living in the moment, trying to last as long as they could. But I wonder, like, was
well,
there
my,
some?
My theory was just that the protesters were going to be in town for about that long. So,
oh.
You know, I'm sure many of them, because they had gotten here like the 5th, the 4th, the 5th, they're going to be there on the 6th by the end of the 7th, or they probably would have left. Maybe. I don't know. That's the only thing I could have come up with. Okay, so we now, because of this whole, there have been calls since last night, obviously, for impeachment and for the 25th to be invoked. I also saw that you tweeted, if the 25th invoked, that is a bigger constitutional crisis than, like, what actually happened. Why do you think so?
My tweet was about, like, the soft 25th, which I think we're kind of seeing, which is, so the 25th is one where, like, intended to be, if, like, say the president has a heart attack and goes into surgery, while the president's unconscious, the nation keep going by invoking 25th and say, like, oh, timeout, VP's in charge until the president's back up and running. That's what it's designed for. It's designed for a situation where the president would presumably have consented to make the VP the acting guy, but physically cannot. In this case, it was becoming an option and being discussed because the president is bonkers, but it hadn't been employed. And instead, I think we're actually seeing the soft 25th, where the president's still the president. Constitutionally, he's in charge. Constitutionally, he is the one that must do everything that the president's required to do. And they're sidelining him. They are quietly, mm-hmm. 20 things, like they're quietly ignoring him, quietly vowing not to obey crazy orders, quietly vowing that they won't, I don't know, attack innocent people in the Capitol. And that is by far the worst outcome. I mean, 25th him and impeach him and or, but don't do this. Like this will cause damage that outlives even Trump, who is not going to be here much longer.
It's a dangerous precedent for sure. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said, and she called on Mike Pence this morning, and she said, either invoke the 25th, do this right, or we're going to impeach him. At the same time, however, I think both the Senate and the House have adjourned.
They can come back.
They can come back. There's no sign that so there has been reporting that so Trump lost two secretaries today. Two other secretaries, Pompeo, he lost Elaine Cho, right? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Is that right? And
DeVos.
Yeah, Betsy DeVos. He lost those two ladies today. Their conscience couldn't take it anymore. But he still has Mnuchin and he still has Pompeo. And apparently both of these cabinet officials did have conversations with their advisors about whether or not they should invoke the 25th. But there's been no movement towards it. There's no indication. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi...
They won't 25th.
They're not going to. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer tried to call Pence to talk about it, and he refused to come to the phone. So they wouldn't.
At this stage, I'm all in favor of whatever works. Like, the 25th is an awkward fit for this, but, like, let's do that and impeach. Like, as a matter of national security and safety, let's just, like, do what it takes.
But can they be even impeached right now? I mean, like, how would they have the votes to impeach him?
So it's either that or let him, like, be there for 13 days. And what is, like, the most unlikely thing to happen, like the thing that's like the most improbable, is for Trump to like peacefully sit there for 13 days. Not going to happen. Like, that is not going to be the option. He is having a tantrum and he has nuclear codes. Like, we can't do nothing. So that, I get it. I get they peel the soft 25th. Like, let's just not listen to him until he's gone, right? No, you can't do that. Like, you have to take action. Like, it's politically awkward. It's awful. It's bad. But also, dude's got nuclear codes, so grow a spine and do something, someone. Pence, Pelosi, I don't care who.
Well, it could just be that they feel like Pence is not going to do it and they won't be able to successfully impeach him anyways. I do want to talk...
So, like, the option is to all die. So, like, let's do something anyway. Let's find the courage and do it. Like, let's just get there. Everyone knows. Well, like, of course the Republicans are going to lie about it, but everyone knows. Like, we all know.
So, okay, there's so much to talk about. I just want to backtrack a little bit to the insurrection of idiots, as I'm calling it. However, you know, it ended up with people dying. You know, one woman was shot by police. I mean, it was captured on video as she was trying to crawl through. She was trying to crawl through a window that had been broken, and if she had made it to the other side, that's literally right outside that was just the hall right outside the House chambers. And so she was shot at. She died. Three others, MAGA folks, died because of medical emergencies, like heart attacks and other, like, asthma attacks and those kinds of things outside. Yeah. One of them I did see, he had an actual heart attack. The other two, I don't know. A police officer who was hit in the head with a, what was he hit in the head with? A fire extinguisher or something?
So we don't know what's happened yet. There's an officer that was reported to have been badly injured.
He was in the ICU, but
a MAGA guy wielding a fire extinguisher. There we go.
Yeah.
And the report earlier is that he was withdrawn from life support and had died. And then after that, we had the Capitol Police say, like, that is not true. We'll give updates later. Let the family have their... I'm guessing what happens, he was withdrawn from life support and has not died.
Has not yet passed, yeah. That's what they're saying.
That's... Either way, like, this is...
And on the heels of that, the D.C. Capitol Police chief did resign. And then...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but wait a minute. Yesterday, we got to go back to yesterday. This happened today. Yesterday, Biden goes out to make... Biden makes a statement from Delaware. And as soon as that happened, I was like, now Trump is going to say something. So Trump does. Trump makes a statement from I guess, the Rose Garden or something. I don't know. Which is, like, in which he says, it's time to go home. You people are very special, and I love you. and everybody's really hurt. And he also tweeted these kinds of things, and he kept bringing up, even in that 1 minute statement, he said, everybody's hurt because the election was stolen from us. This is like a sacred trust and the election was stolen. And so he finally got his ass banned from Twitter after 4 years.
And Facebook and Instagram and Twitch, which I did not know he was on.
Okay, that happened.
Everyone knows. Like, this pretense that this is tenable has, like, broken. Everyone's like, dear God, just buckle down and white knuckle it the rest. Like, we all know it's not good. Like, it's not sustainable.
But here's what I'm wondering, Susan. After the reports of this police officer dying, it was really quickly after that that Trump came out today and made a statement. And let's play some of this audio.
Do we have to? Go ahead.
Yeah, let's do it. This might be the closest thing to concession, but you heard it, right? You watched it or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
So let's talk about this. What do you think? Do you think this is him really saying, okay, I'm done. He's supposed to be going to camp.
Oh, yeah, Cipollone talked to his ass and was like, look, you have legal liability for this. You definitely have liability for all the stuff you've done. You are not going to have any protection in 2 weeks. And you may have just committed treason the other day. So let's like try and walk some stuff back and protect yourself. Let's have Kayleigh McEnany get out there and give a very prepared statement and answer no questions. As she straightforward says, oh, we condemn the violence. No backtracks, no like, but we really won the election. Like just straightforward, oh, this is awful. And we're going to have you go out and record something like 3 times. We'll splice it together and make it work out fine. Where you're going to say that you called the National Guard right away and that you totally oppose all of this and that your supporters are all traitors and terrorists. And there's, I mean, obviously, like, he is acting out of self-interest here.
And
like,
he also said that the electoral count was taken and there will be a new administration. Yeah. That's, like,
because
the closest thing to a concession, basically.
Something happened that scared the bejesus out of Cipollone, and he knows that they have some extreme legal liability and that Trump is now legally exposed to what happened. And this is their attempt to cover that up.
So what I guess my question is this. Do you think that means for the next 13 days, we will be okay. I have to say, things are much quiet just not having him on social media. They really are much quieter. Do you think for the next 13 days he will just quietly sit somewhere? Like, he's going to Camp David this weekend. I don't know why, but...
I think from past experience, we have, like, a good chance at 36 hours.
He'll lose it.
And by then he fucks it up again.
Yeah, because he can't Charlottesville,
the Putin thing. Like, yeah, like, we have at best 36 hours and often much less before he immediately backtracks all of it. Like...
How's he going to do it, though? If he is not appearing on any other media, like, how does he do it is the question, right? Like, because all his chaos is through the media.
He is the president. So, like, there's lots of ways he can cause chaos.
Starting a war in Iran. Do you think Camp David has something to do with Iran, by the way?
So, I think it was a good move for them to ban him because he was literally instigating insurrection, like, live on camera. They had no choice. On the other hand, like, it's not a great argument, but part of me is like, you know what? That is an outlet. Like, that is kind of a pressure valve for him. So, like, are we going to regret him not having a pressure valve on Twitter? Like, on Twitter, everyone knows this nonsense. Iran knows this nonsense. Like, he can tweet whatever he wants, and we might go, whoa, buddy, what you doing there? But, like, no one's going to, like, lose their cool anymore over his Twitter stuff.
For 13 days for him to have zero attention?
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Oh, my God. It's not going to work. This is why I'm so, after finding peace and, like, moving on in my own personal post-Trump life, I am now nervous and angry and scared again because he will not make it 13 days without doing something catastrophic. He just won't. Unless people do things they should do. Unless the Constitution is used the way it's meant to be. Someone find some courage. Like, someone goddamn do something. And no one will. I mean, maybe this time, maybe Pelosi and Schumer and them are like, okay, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's do what's actually necessary to save everyone. I am not.
But they impeached him before and it didn't do anything. I mean, like, that impeaching him is not... It's not
Republicans
remove
are scared
him.
Too. Okay, the Republicans had to do like their own like active shooter drill, like a high school students. So they have got some skin in the game from that. They're scared too. They know. They've always known. And the pretense is gone. They know he's desperate and that he has nothing else left to lose and that he's not going to go easy. So I'd love to be wrong, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
The Senate Republicans rolled it back much more than House Republicans did last night. So, and that's what really matters on an impeachment vote. So, because the House is already there. But I guess, let's see. I mean, so let's say he's impeached, okay? He's impeached, he gets convicted, and then what happens? Because I forget this whole thing from a year ago. He's walked out.
Removed.
Huh?
He's removed. He's taken away, and Pence takes over. Pence is the 46th for, like, 7 days, probably, at that point.
What do you think about Trump's moms? What do you think? Do you think on the 20th they'll be back? Do you think they'll be back at all? Do you think they're done? I mean, I've seen today, like, a lot of postings.
I'm less scared of them than Trump. At this point, like,
yeah.
At this point, if our institutions don't respond to them and be ready this time, then, well, we're just doomed.
There have apparently been about 90 arrests made since yesterday.
They did a freaking 200 number of arrests, like, one night last summer.
Yeah.
On Swan Street and DuPont. Like, come on. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Point being, for the 19th and 20th, I think that they will definitely step up and have a response to that. I am not so much worried about that. I am worried about what Trump will do.
Well, what I was going to say is on Parler, there also seems to be a backlash to Trump's statement today, which people on Parler are like...
Oh, they're so mad. They're so mad.
They're very upset. They're like, oh my God, he like totally wussed out on us. He riled us up. He made us... We spent our own money coming out there. They did. We stood out there in the cold for him. We marched on. We put our lives on the line. And that was it.
Look, some of them will be like really angry and cry and go away. A lot of them won't. Their rage won't be... like. Yes, he was their dear leader, and yes, they were following his lead, but him going away won't make them go away. But they are now free agents, so to speak. They are out there and angry and desperate and sad. So, yeah.
All right.
But they also don't have nuclear codes.
This is correct. Could somebody just kind of like change them so they're not the real ones, just replace them or something? I don't know.
Soft 25th. Look, if you're trying to do soft 25th, which is unconstitutional, a bad idea, like at least go all the way and give them the wrong clear codes. Least you could do.
Yeah. So the rats have been fleeing the ship. I mean, we've had a number of resignations in the last, I guess, 24 hours or so.
Oh, my God. I cannot handle this. Oh, we've been here 4 years. And now we're like, oh, coincidentally, we definitely lose our job in 2 weeks. But now we see the light. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe now they see the criminal liability. I mean, like, you know, I think it's...
There's nothing left to gain. Yeah. 2 weeks of being close to power, now they're going to try and save their, you know, reputations and get out of there. It's ridiculous.
It's
Mulvaney resigned this morning.
Right.
And I was like, huh? I'm like, oh, that's right. He did become appointed the special envoy in Northern Ireland.
I had totally forgotten about him, too. Yeah.
Like, I was like, you can't resign from a job you haven't had in a year. But,
yeah. I'm checking Twitter real quickly to see if anybody else has resigned in the interim. So, but his lawyers have kind of, I mean, like, it's over, right? I mean, the votes are, I mean, like, it's over. It is over. It's been certified.
No, there are 13 days.
What's that?
Oh, that's over. That's been over. The election's over. Yeah. Biden will be president on the 20th. The question is what happens in the next 13 days.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else we want to talk about?
No.
All right, look, here's the deal. I'm just going to say this so our listeners know, because I know we've been, like, spotty on this. We're going to have at least one more episode before we...
Let's do two. Two more.
You
want to
do two more?
We'll do it. Two more and we're done. Let's do it, Rabia.
All right. Two more before we dock this puppy.
Unfortunately, I feel like we have definitely more to talk about. Two more episodes worth to cover about.
All right, fine. Next 2 weeks, we'll be back. And then you all are on your own, man. Well, you'll find us on Twitter.
On your own, but for that.
Yeah, but for that. I will say this, though.
I just want to have him not in my life. I want to not think about him or worry about him and not have to. I want him to not be a factor in anything that goes on in my life ever again.
But you know what he said at the end of that statement? Remember what he said? He said, this is just the beginning. He said, I don't know the beginning of what, but he said, this is just the beginning. All right. Okay. Thanks so much, Susan. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you're all safe. Keep staying home. Keep wearing your mask.
Stay home. Stay home for COVID and stay home for whatever nonsense happening in the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Let the MAGA monkeys just fight amongst themselves. All right. Okay, guys. We'll be back in a week. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is @45thpod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.